You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Race theory has actually now infiltrated our criminal justice system. Just this week, I released a story that the FBI is now holding weekly seminars on intersectionality, which is a hard left academic theory that reduces people to a network of racial, gender, and sexual orientation identities that intersect in complex ways and determine whether you are an oppressor or oppressed.
September the 9th, 2020, those are the words of Christopher Rufo. He's going to tell you more as we get later into the next 2 hours, what critical race theory is. Have you heard that term battered around? Do you understand what it is? Trump wants it shut down in government agencies. It is supposedly a diversity program. I've got a guest today, New York correspondent for The Federalist, to ask him directly, why is it bad? Or why is it good? Why is it ugly? What could happen? Does it have any value? Critical race theory. I personally think it's a disaster, and it's another racist effort to supposedly unite us, but it's racist. We'll get into that. And there's an increasing threat of violence if Donald Trump wins the election. Various groups already talking about what they're going to do. They're already preparing, mobilizing, that if Trump wins, there will be anarchy all across the land. That night, if the numbers show that Trump has won, they will be starting looting, breaking in, attacking anyone and everyone they choose. And I'll share something else with you. I think if Biden will win, they'll still do it, just because they want to. We got a lot of police chiefs and officers retiring. They've said, enough, not going to do it anymore. I can't put myself on the line. I have a family to take care of, but I need to be home with my family, not being carried by six to a grave. Josh Hawley, by the way, Missouri Senator, Republican, submitting a bill to Congress today authorizing the Justice Department to raise salaries of state and local police forces all across the country, except in cities that have chosen to defund law enforcement in the wake of these national protests and riots. It's a good idea. Oh, this is hot. This has the left absolutely fuming. Trump nominated again for a Nobel Peace Prize, this time for the Israeli United Emirates deal. It is a big deal, bringing the conflict in the Middle East closer to a resolution. The Associated Press joining the rest of the mass media trying to dismiss it. They put out a quick article on it on their tweet machine. And here's the way it actually read. A far fight Norwegian lawmaker, it's Associated Press, they didn't even check their own copy. They meant a far-right Norwegian lawmaker has nominated President. Oh, no, you know what? Maybe they're playing a little fun with us. Maybe they meant to do that. All right, I'll go back. I'll read it the way they intended. Or at least, maybe they intended. A far-fight Norwegian lawmaker nominating President Trump for the Nobel Peace Prize, the Nobel Norwegian Parliament member said Trump should be considered because of his work between the United Arab Emirates and Israel. This is not the first time Trump's been nominated. Remember North Korea? Getting talks with North Korea started? The same Norwegian lawmaker did that last time around as well. That didn't work, but he's back this time on this issue. We're going to be talking about that with our guest later today, because remember, Obama got a Nobel Prize when he hadn't done anything. China has a plan to smear Trump before the election. Our guest, Gordon Chang, author of Collapse of China, will tell us exactly what they're planning to do, and also how China is militarizing with the goal and intent to kill Americans. And we got more surveys out in Florida. This is really bothering the Biden camp and the left immediately. Florida poll, NBC survey, shows Biden and Trump tied. So what the left wants to do is, let's focus on Pennsylvania, because news numbers out of Pennsylvania show that Joe is doing great. Why? Because he switched positions again. Now he says, fracking, we're not going to try to put a stop to all that and all those jobs. Listen, where we can find the votes, that's who he's appealing to. We've got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. You don't want to miss any of it. Let your friends and neighbors, even your enemies, know. We're on the air. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
So are you ready to get out from the COVID-19 scare? We might still need to be careful in some areas. I do encourage businesses to make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And of course, if you open up and then a client or an employee or someone else surfaces with COVID-19, you need to reevaluate what's going on. I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. They can determine at a very reasonable cost what you need to do before you open, once you are open, and as you move forward. It just makes good sense, doesn't it? Wellington Environmental, for 30 years, has been treating situations at hospitals, schools, daycare centers, private homes. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Biden is up in Pennsylvania, 53-44%. Among some key demographics, Biden holds an advantage among suburban voters by 19 points. Voters with a college degree by 29, women by 21, and independent voters by 22. White voters are split between Biden and Trump at 49% each. President Trump holds an advantage with white evangelicals.
Lord, why?
Why?
And why shouldn't he?
Because he got that endorsement from Jerry Falwell Jr.
Well,
I guess that was
seriously,
it.
Seriously, he is a living, breathing example of the Beatitudes.
There you
walking
go.
59
points. Wow. That's a whole story within itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there you go. That's the way MSNBC and the mainstream media copies that same format. How they go after Trump and mock Trump supporters, especially when it comes to religion. That was Mika Brzezinski of MSNBC, along with her husband Joe Scarborough, and they're talking about that Pennsylvania poll, which shows Biden is doing good, doing well, doing better. And they can't wait to tout that. They absolutely love it. Biden 49%, according to one of the latest political polls collected by 538. Biden 49%, Trump 45%. And in Pennsylvania, according to Real Clear Politics, taking a closer look at it again, on the polling data, as you just heard them say, it looks like Biden was doing well. You do know, of course, that Biden has had to change gears. Dramatically. I mean dramatically. Because of what he was proposing. He was all on with the new Green Deal, which would shut down fracking. There are a lot of jobs tied to fracking in the oil industry. The entire industry involves fracking in many ways. And in Pennsylvania, former Vice President Biden and his running mate Kamala Harris, have been very clear for years on their position, their policy position when it comes to energy. They want to end fracking, upend America's energy independence, kill high-paying jobs for thousands of Americans. But now, oh, hey, Pennsylvania's a big swing state, and we're going to need every vote we can get. So here comes Joe again, making a change. Listen, during the primary debate in March, when he was up against Senator Bernie Sanders, when his audience was not just Western Pennsylvania, Biden agreed with Sanders, who said we should ban fracking. And Biden added, no more, no new fracking. Months later, he guaranteed a young woman in New Hampshire, I will end fossil fuels if I become president. His running mate, Harris, saying the similar things on CNN, saying there's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking. This is Harris from California, the same state that has rolling blackouts underway in that state this summer. Massive fires. Folks are struggling to stay alive to begin with, dealing with everything shut down from COVID. Then they got the fires, and now they want to take away any jobs that might actually involve oil industry, fossil fuel. When you look at Pennsylvania, hundreds of thousands of families in Pennsylvania depend on the oil and gas industry. That's how they make their living, either directly or indirectly. And Western Pennsylvania is the key part, but it's not unique. You got the same thing happening all across other states, Oklahoma, Texas. According to Baker Hughes, nearly 90% of all new oil and gas wells drilled today are what they call horizontal fracked wells. You cannot shut it down without major economic consequences. And yet, Biden, Harris, and all the new Green Deal people say, we're done with it, we're going to stop it. But whoa, wait a minute. We are September 9 today. August 31, not that far ago, right? Addressing supporters in Pittsburgh, said, I am not banning fracking, no matter how many times Donald Trump lies about me. That's not just a flip-flop, that's a reverse. But the flip-flop is just flip-flopping around just as surely as you catch a fish, you pull it into the boat before you can get hold of it. It's off the hook, but it's there in the boat, jumping up, down, flip-flop, flip-flop. That's Joe Biden. And, of course, they were more than glad to praise on MSNBC today how the polls are looking for Biden in Pennsylvania and that Trump has support of Christians. And they mocked that. And, of course, he did get his endorsement in 2016 from Reverend Jerry Falwell, founder of his university. And now his son and his son's wife involved in a sex scandal. And they're mocking and tying that all to Trump as well. Aside from the Falwells, I want you to keep in mind that every time you hear the left laughing, mocking Christian religion, say, how many times do you make such jokes and do that reference? Jewish religion, and they do from time to time. But what about Muslim jokes? You make any Muslim jokes? Oh, no, not going to do that. We are now less than 2 months until the 2020 election, November 3rd. Biden has to come out of the basement again. So he's now in Michigan, a state Trump carried by fewer than 10,000 votes in 2016. He came out just to go to Michigan. The Trump campaign has 18 appearances in 11 states over the next 6 days for the president, vice president, and members of the Trump family. But the president is going to be at a lot of those. In national polling, Biden still maintains a lead over Trump. But the surveys, the surveys in some of the swing states are tightening up. And that brings the battleground maps into play. One of the big battlegrounds would be the state of Florida. Trump has made gains in South Florida and Miami-Dade County to tie Biden in Florida. Now, again, these are just surveys. You take them for what you want to. You can put all your faith in them or none of it. Or you can just say, it's a test of where things are at that moment, at that time, with that select group. Because that's really all it is. Some are more scientific than others. Some might have been done better than others, but the numbers are still there. I've always told you, if you're going to accept polls that show Trump is really big and doing great, then you also have to accept polls that say he's not, if they're done properly. We had on Dr. Gerard Lomero yesterday, model forecaster. He doesn't do the standard polling others do. He builds models. And what he looks at is to what's going to happen within the election, within the party. In 2016, in January of 2016, shortly after Trump announced as a candidate, Dr. Lomero said Trump's going to win. I had to disagree. Well, at least I had to question him. This far out, you can say that. I mean, they've got, what he had at that time, 12, 14 GOP candidates. He was one of many. And as the field continued to get narrower, I still had one, two, somebody else ahead of Trump. At least one, two, or three of them that I could put ahead of Trump. But he came out of the Republican convention the winner and did go on and win, as, again, Dr. Lomero had predicted. Dr. Lomero, this time around, has said Trump will win by a landslide. I don't want you to take that to heart and say, well, I don't need to go vote. No, you make sure you do vote, because these swing states are going to be critical. When you look at what happened in Michigan, where Biden is today, yes, Trump won it and won the electoral votes for the Electoral College. But he carried fewer than 10,000 votes all across the state. Now, when you look at what's happening in Florida, you've got gains in South Florida and Miami-Dade County that are making Joe Biden's campaign very nervous. The new polling shows that Biden is underperforming Clinton's, Hillary Clinton's 2016 margins. And why is suddenly Trump doing so well? Well, first of all, he's outspent the vice president, the former vice president, Biden, by about $4 million, much of it on Spanish language ads. It appears that he is winning the Cuban vote, the Latino vote in Florida. Trump, that is. A growing wave of pan-Latin American voters account for almost half of Florida's registered Hispanic voters. So it's critical. And with 29 electoral votes, it is one of the largest swing state prizes in the Electoral College. In 2012, Obama won Miami-Dade by just 4 percentage points. He did clinch Florida's Hispanic vote, 60% of the vote. 4 years later, he narrowly lost at that time the Cuban vote to Mitt Romney. Clinton did well with them back in 2016, but this time around, the Trump campaign has made it clear we have room for everyone in our camp. You're welcome. Come in. We want you to be part of it, to join us. It's very akin to what he said when running in 2016 to black Americans. Why not take a chance on me? What have you got to lose? The Democrats in control of your cities, your states, for decades they have done nothing to help you. And his black support is picking up rapidly. He had 8% 2016. I have no doubt he's going to go into double digits. I don't know how high. Dr. Lamero is predicting close to 40%. That would be a phenomenal number. And, of course, we still have to be worried about, do you win and actually call it that night, or do we have to wait on all these ballots being mailed in, and what kind of shenanigans will be taking place? More news out of what happened in Georgia with some voting recently. This should scare you about the legitimacy of mail-in voting. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
The story of the hot rod race with the Fords and Lincolns was setting the pace. That story is true. I'm here to say I was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor in it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So the Georgia absentee ballots that never arrived in mail. Nearly 3,000 voters in Georgia filing complaints. They never got their absentee ballots for that state's August 11th primary runoff. A photo obtained by one news crew showed ballots, some of them, still inside a post office August 12th, the day after the runoffs. And those undelivered ballots no longer usable by voters, even if they eventually got them. And, of course, everybody is saying we're going to have more mail-in this time around because of COVID. You've heard Nancy Pelosi and the left say that the post office is election central. If you absolutely have to get and request a mail-in ballot, I would advise you to hand-deliver it to your headquarters, to the polling headquarters. Don't put it in the mail and expect it to get there on time. In the meantime, Georgia's, I just told you the trouble there with Georgia on those ballots. Now the Secretary of State in Georgia says 1,000 citizens in Georgia, assuming they're all citizens, voted twice in the state's June primary. And now the state's looking at felony charges. 150,000 voters had applied for absentee ballots. They got them. They voted then, and they also, 1,000 of them at least, appeared in person on election day. You see voter fraud? You see how that happens? Well, once again, President Trump is nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. He was nominated previously by the same guy that's nominated him this time around, previously for opening talks with North Korea. Now, the Nobel Prize, Peace Prize, is one of five Nobel Prizes that are given out. It's awarded annually, with exceptions, and I'll point one out in a moment, to those who have, quote, done the most or the best work for fraternity between nations, for the abolition or reduction of standing armies, and for the holding and promotion of peace congresses. Barack Obama in 2009 was nominated. He had been president for 10 months when it was announced. Why did he get it? He hadn't done anything, had done nothing. Well, he was bringing in, as they said, fostering, quote, a new climate in international relations, whatever the hell that meant. He had done nothing. He had accomplished nothing. But he talked big about what he was going to do. So if you talk big enough about what your plan is, you can get the prize. Trump, of course, did not get the prize on the North Korean talks. So he's nominated again by the same guy this time around, a Norwegian far-right parliament member. And he's saying this time for his merit, I think Trump has done more trying to create peace between nations than most other Peace Prize attendees and nominees. He's talking specifically about getting Israel and the United Arab Emirates to agree to a brokered deal. Well, of course, the left absolutely hates that. And they're doing everything they can to make it look silly and stupid. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Gordon Chang, an expert on China, and how China is making plans to smear Trump in advance of the election.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Walk down the door. Just turn around now. You're not welcome anymore. Weren't you the one who tried to hurt me with your spy? Did you think I'd crumble? Did you think I'd lay down and die? Oh, no, not I will survive.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. I want to welcome my guest. I want to share a little story that he may or may not have heard. My guest is Gordon G. Chang, conservative columnist, also author of the book, The Coming Collapse of China. Gordon, glad to have you on board, sir.
Thank you so much, Larry.
Now, before we jump into the subject matters, and got a lot of it, also, folks, I'm going to be giving you his Twitter handle in a moment, so be ready to copy that down. And Quentin will make sure we also put it up on our Facebook posting with this program as a podcast following it. But here's what happened the other day, Gordon. I was trying to line you up. I had contacted the Heritage Foundation, because I know you appear sometimes with them. And I got a word back that it's all set up with Chen, C-H-E-N. Your name, obviously, C-H-A-N-G. And I inquired, well, is there a misspelling, or are we talking about the same guy? And I was told, yeah, same guy. So as I went to introduce the guest, you, I read all your credentials, and then the voice at the other end kind of laughing said, that's good, that's Gordon, I know him, but this is Dean.
Yeah, I know Dean, and Dean actually is perhaps the first or second best China military analyst in the United States, or in the world. He and Rick Fisher are absolutely fantastic.
And he was good that day, too, but I don't know how the mix-up happened. I'll take the hit. I'll put it on me, but somehow or another we had some fun with it. Folks, here's this Twitter handle before I get deeper into this. It's at Gordon G. Chang. Now, Gordon is a capital G, Gordon, G-O-R-D-O-N, then capital G, Chang, C-H-A-N-G, C-H-A-N-G. We'll be doing it again on our Facebook later. The reason I wanted Gordon on today is because he has a piece that, well, first of all, before we get into that, Trump being nominated for a Nobel Prize, and he's actually done something compared to what Obama had done 9-10 months into his administration and done nothing. What's your response to that nomination?
Yeah, this is really important because I think a lot of people in the United States, for whatever reason, don't understand the significance of the Israel-UAE deal. This actually is a formation of an anti-China coalition. You're going to see other countries in the Sunni Arab world join on, and it counters the China-Iran partnership, a 25-year, $400 billion strategic partnership that Iran and China have just inked. So this is President Trump's getting these two countries, the UAE and Israel, together is actually historic. We're going to be talking about this for generations.
And while we're talking about China directly, there was a piece quoting you from September that you were saying in an interview of Fox News that you saw, or warning actually, that China was, quote, configuring its military to kill Americans. Will you explain, sir?
Well, China has been rapidly developing its military, and it is now so large, the question is, what is China doing? Certainly no nation threatens China, so China's trying to project power. And we have seen what it's tried to do on a number of occasions, and we have heard what its generals say about attacking the United States. But this is not just theoretical, Larry, because in the spring of 2018, over Djibouti, the Horn of Africa, which is China's first and now only overseas military base, China actually temporarily blinded two American pilots of a C-130. And when you try to blind the pilots of a plane, they did that with lasers. When you try to blind the pilots of a plane, you're trying to bring down the plane.
Yes.
If you're trying to bring down the plane, you're trying to kill the crew. We know that China lasers American planes not only in Africa, but also South China Sea, East China Sea. We've demanded that they stop doing this. They continue to do it. We can only assume that what they are trying to do are to kill our service members. One other thing that we know. Also around the time of the lasering of the C-130, China had these sonic attacks against the Guangzhou consulate, and that caused brain injuries to American diplomats. So we know that they're trying to harm Americans, and we know their military doctrine and their rapid buildup. So no question about it. China really wants to kill Americans.
On the sonar devices, before I go back on a main track, to step aside a little bit, we've heard that kind of story before on our diplomats sent down to Havana, that some kind of devices like that were being used, although supposedly the Russians were involved with it that time around.
Yes. They were the sonic attacks on the American diplomats in Havana, again causing injuries. In China, China denies any responsibility for the sonic attacks, but China runs the world's most effective surveillance state. So nobody could do this over a long period of time against American diplomats and Beijing not know about it. So Beijing is responsible for this, and we need to hold them accountable.
Your book, and The Coming Collapse of China, is now almost 20 years old. It came out in 2001. You still see things going as you saw at that point and maybe accelerating at this step?
Well, yes, I do. I mean, in that book, I got the timing wrong. I said that in 2001 that it would take a decade for the Communist Party to fall. And what I didn't foresee was the 2008 global downturn, which allowed the Communist Party to strengthen itself in a number of ways. But right now, we do see fragility in China. The economy certainly is stumbling for coronavirus and for other reasons. The environment is exhausted. Think scarcity of water, despite the recent flooding. Demography is now in an accelerated period of decline, people are restive. Across society, we see weaknesses. And I believe the Communist Party right now is extremely dangerous because it does see that it has a closing window of opportunity to achieve historic goals.
All right. I have so much more we can get on it. We're going to have to book you for another event as well. But I need to get to something I'd promoted, and I know the audience wants to know. You published a piece the 17th of last month. Here's how China is interfering to smear Trump ahead of the 2020 election. Exactly what are they going to be doing, sir?
Well, what they've been going to do is what they've been doing up to now. So first of all, they've got unprecedented disinformation campaigns that are meant to destabilize the United States and certainly by implication President Trump. We know that they have been using their trolls and their bot farms to tar the president. The New York Times reported that the Chinese did that in the middle of May. They sent out text messages and they posted on social media information about Trump that they knew was false. This was the rumor that the president was going to lock down the entire country after imposing the Stafford Act. We have seen the Spamouflage Dragon troll farm that was directing anti-Trump messages. And we know that Twitter and Facebook and I believe some other social media sites have taken that network down. We believe although we don't have proof that Beijing was curating videos on TikTok to fuel the Dirty Tricks campaign against the president. This was people reserving seats for the Tulsa rally in June, not showing up and embarrassing the president. The list goes on and on. The other thing that we know, Larry, is that China has been trying to fuel the Antifa and Black Lives Matter protests in ways to create to make them violent. Now, one can argue that that helps President Trump ultimately, but clearly it's meant to destabilize the United States and indeed is an act of war.
Yeah, and
you put all that.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You put all that together and you got to be concerned about what China is doing because they will intensify their efforts in the run up to November 3.
Yeah, and the argument says to if trying to destabilize and as supporting Antifa and other anarchist type groups, if it's going to be a plus minus, the Democrats themselves can't figure that one out. They think, "Oh, we're not going to say anything about it. We kind of accept it, but then we may or may not do something." But Trump stated just the other day, I don't have the quote here in front of me, it might have been even earlier this morning, I see so much material, that if Biden wins, China wins. You agree?
Yeah, yeah. The president said this in his Labor Day press conference, and he said that if Biden wins, China will own the United States. That's something that he has said in the past. I wouldn't say owning the United States, but I get across the message because I do believe that if the vice president were elected, we would have policies that don't adequately defend the U.S. Couple of points. First of all, every new occupant of the White House, including Trump, tries for a period of months to see if they can develop cooperative relationships with Beijing. They can't, of course. And, of course, Trump pivoted when he saw that Xi Jinping, the Chinese ruler, was not reciprocating Trump's generous gestures. We're at a point where we do not have time to lose. So whatever the vice president thinks, I don't think that the change in the White House would be a good thing right now. But more important than that, we have a Democratic candidate who actually doesn't believe that the Chinese are bad folks. He actually said that on May 1st, 2019. And he also said at the time, and this was just incomprehensible, he said that China's not competition for the United States.
I think we all know better than that. Gordon, we're right up against the clock. I know you have a tight schedule. I do thank you for joining us. We would like to book you again in the future and go into more details. As you said, it's just going to continue to ramp up between now and November 3rd.
Yes, and thank you so much, Larry.
You bet. Gordon G. Chain, The Coming Collapse of China, came out in 2001. Very fascinating read. And again, his Twitter account will be posting as well on our Facebook as we put up the podcast for you. It's kind of hard to write down as you're listening if you're moving around right now, but it's at Gordon, G-O-R-D-O-N-G, Chain, C-H-A-N-G. Or go to Larry Connors USA Facebook, Larry Connors USA Facebook, and watch or listen to the podcast later today and pull up that information at that point. Did you see what they're trying to do to Nick, the high school student who won all those slander suits against the mainstream media? Stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
By the way, again, to help you make contact if you want to with Gordon Chain, my China expert I just had on, you can go to my Twitter account, at Larry Connors USA, at Larry Connors USA, and you'll find I just posted his Twitter account right there, right now, so you can check it out. So, of course, you know the name, Nick Sandman. He's the high school student, one of many, that were in D.C. for a pro-life rally at the Lincoln Memorial in January 2019. Sandman was wearing a MAGA hat at the time. And here came a group protesting, and including an American Indian who stood there banging a drum right in his face, and Sandman just stood there smiling. Some said he was smirking. Interpret the way you want. He made no move to the guy, did nothing. He just stood there, and he said later, I was just trying to show him I'm friendly. I'm not going to cause any trouble. But that's not the way the mainstream media painted it, is it? They went absolutely bonkers saying, look at this smart arse little kid standing there when a Native American is trying to address him. Basically accusing Nick Sandman of starting everything and attacking them. And as a result, Sandman ended up suing and getting settlements out of CNN and the Washington Post. Both outlets ultimately reaching a legal settlement. He'd sued them in court for $250 million each. Now, how much was given? We don't know. But the main line is they were just doing their best to make him look bad. They didn't even know the story. They didn't care what the story was. It was a kid wearing a MAGA hat with a Native American activist standing in front of him, and it had to be Trump's fault and the kid's fault. So Nick Sandman, now out of high school, going on to college. He's going to Transylvania University in Kentucky. And an American Civil Liberties Union official in Kentucky is already criticizing it. He's criticizing. He said, does anyone think it's a bit of a stain on Transylvania University for accepting Nick Sandman? I'm sure it's, quote, a both sides defense, but it's pretty counter to their mission. Another instance of there not actually being equal sides to an issue. That's what he said. An ACLU member. And an assistant professor and diversity scholar at the university also shared a comment before it was taken down, calling Sandman's, quote, public behavior and rhetorical atrocious and uninformed, adding the young student must accept his class as gospel. In other words, he's saying he might learn something if it's actually based on research and evidence. If he's in my class, he will learn because that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to put up with his political and personal view. The professor continued saying if he were to cause problems by being disruptive or engaging in unethical behavior of any kind, I would immediately document it, just like I would for any student doing the same thing. And he would be putting himself in a position for me to file a conduct report. Later, the professor issues an apology. I want to apologize for my mistake in singling out a student and any misunderstandings that arose from that. It's the same old move of leftists. Get out there, blare it out, basically vomit it up. And then when you're caught at it and it's left the mess, you back up and say, I'm so sorry. But you've already created the mess, haven't you? You did exactly what you intended. You walked in the room, you dropped the grenade, and you walked out. And now you say, my bad, I'm sorry? That's exactly the way the left continues to do it. But if you dare be on the right and make any kind of similar remarks, they will absolutely look for every way they can to crucify you. This is just a kid deciding which college he's going to go to. And immediately the college is under attack. He's under attack. Remember the ACLU speaking out? And you know he probably believes that he's speaking for many others. And I have no doubt he probably is. And then one of the professors who wanted to jump into that, talking about how he's a diversity scholar and saying we're not going to admit academically qualified students due to their political and personal views. If he ends up in my class, fine. He might learn something, actually based on research and evidence. Professor, may I suggest something? You contact all the quote reporters at CNN and MSNBC and all the others, the Washington Post included, who were reporting false stories, narratives about Nick Sandman and that standoff with the Native American activists in D.C. Maybe you should talk to them about dealing with evidence. No, he's already declared that he thinks Sandman's going to be part of a group anti-intellectualist views, some sort of brainwashing machine. He thinks that he's going to come in here and change us. He's not going to. So the professor said, but then apologized. My bad. Coming up the next hour, the mob is planning on massive violence if Trump wins that very night. And the critical race theory diversity programs. What exactly is this? I've got a special guest to discuss it. Next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.